The word is out. The Dirty Dozen are not allowed in the mail. Dolan, firearms, poison, explosives, flammable material, narcotics, alcoholic beverages, contraband, infernal machines, and combustionable chemicals are not allowed in the mail. If you were paying attention, you noticed that I only named nine of the Dirty Dozen. You also aren't allowed to mail a deuce and a half, a pretty Vietnamese girl, or yourself. Mailing any of the Dirty Dozen is a postal offense, period. On the dock of the bay, watching the
clouds roll away. Welcome to the Combat Radio Network. This is Three Men and a Microphone, recorded inside the Iron Mike Studio, located in the Military Exchange on Route 332 in Canandaigua. Three Men and a Microphone is an opinion show based on the ins and outs, the news, politics, and scuttlebutt about town and the city of Canandaigua. Beautiful, historical Canandaigua, New York, where the hops grow higher, the grapes grow sweeter, and the sun always shines. In conjunction with 1310 AM, Canandaigua, Three Men and a Microphone, all the way from Rochester to Geneva, New York. I am your host, Corporal Tim Thornton, and this is Three Men and a Microphone. And we'll be right back after these messages. Introducing now, in the corner of Case's Mini Storage Plaza, wearing camouflage, boxers, and smoking a cigar, hailing from Canandaigua, New York, Corporal Tim Thornton's the all-new The Military Exchange. The Military Exchange is proud to present over 5,000 feet of pure 100% military. The Military Exchange is your source for all your military needs and proudly supports active reserve and former military, VFWs, legions, and leagues, Boy Scouts, Sea Cadets, Civil Air Patrol, and your family. Presenting cigars fresh from our plantation in the Dominica, collectibles, t-shirts, hoodies, and ball caps, rank and insignia uniforms for parade, security, and law enforcement, camouflage clothing, outerwear, wool pants, parkas, and field jackets, camping backpack, tents, and sleep systems, vintage clothing and gear, Class A's past and present, tactical and survival gear, antiques and airsoft, brand new and pre-enjoyed military camouflage and boots. Check out our military talk show at IronMikesMX.com. 5,000 feet to pure 100% military in Canandaigua, New York.
You've been listening to SCOPE, Shooters Committee on Political Education with Don and Bob. Keep your gun holstered and your rifle in the rack with the second half. And then on to Three Men and a Mic with Michael Yarger from Canandaigua 2020.
Just for review, remember that, now by the way, I'll mention Cuomo, our governor, is asking for the state to pass a 10-day waiting period before someone can obtain a gun from a gun shop after they have passed the NICS check. Give them 10 days. That's redundant. Back in the early 90s, I'll say 92, 93, it was after Bill Clinton was elected, probably the first couple of years of his term, we didn't have a NICS check. So he unilaterally passed a 10-day waiting period. Put that in place. Okay, fine. The NRA said, wait a minute, we need something more instant. They helped design the NICS system today that we have. That replaced the 10 days. So the 10 days went away. We still operate under the NICS system. We have for, 25 years, and it's worked very well as long as the states input the information that the FBI needs on each individual. The problem is the state is not doing that. Now, I understand that Fix NICS is supposed to be an incentive for the states to provide that information. That's all well and good. The states will claim, well, we don't have the money. Okay, so the feds are saying, we'll give you the money to do that. That sounds, on the surface, it sounds good. But as I looked into this a little more closely, here's what crops up. For someone to be identified as disqualified by, let's say, New York State, In other words, their name is sent to the FBI, and they're automatically disqualified if they try to buy a gun. Okay? You're relying on the state to provide that information. What's wrong with that? I'll tell you one thing that's very wrong with it. Anyone who is convicted of a serious crime in this state. Now, that's a category, by the way, serious crimes. If you look that up, you'll find a whole list of them. They're generally felonies. So anyone who has been convicted of a serious crime or offense, it's called an offense, their name is sent to the FBI. That sounds like a good thing, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, it does to me. Right. Here's the problem. The state is shifting some of these crimes from a less serious offense over to the serious offense category. They aren't really serious offenses, but the state has the ability to do that. What's that going to do, ultimately? It's going to disqualify more individuals from buying a gun, and that's wrong. It's arbitrary. And in many cases, the decisions are being made not by elected officials, but by bureaucrats. Superintendent of State Police is a bureaucrat appointed by the governor. He makes a lot of decisions. He can put any gun today or tomorrow, on the so-called restricted list for purchasing. Any gun in the state can be put on that list by him. He has the authority to do so. Superintendent of State Police. We can't have bureaucrats running our government, I'm sorry, or making decisions that affect us personally day to day. Can't happen. But I see the Fifth Amendment, the due process in the Fifth Amendment and in the 14th Amendment being affected by this fix-nix. I'm sorry. It's going to be a problem. So I hope, and by the way, the NRA, I think, has supported it to some extent. I hope that they begin to look at it a little more closely and change their decision. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's
it is.
Good to hear that. I had to quiet the dog.
Yeah,
so
right.
I like it. I mean, I think that that's all important that we've brought it up to this point. Doesn't sound like the fix-nix check is where I want to go. I also wanted to mention that Mayor de Blasio, it looks like he tried to pull armed officers out of the schools, and the New York Police Department 3 days later said that's not going to happen. They had an outburst of people in New York City who didn't like that idea. And they put the officers back into, as the story reads, at least three of the Queens schools. So I don't know if that means every school or what. But, you know, I think for today, the answer is resource officer. In the future, an armed resource officer, you know, I'd love to say we don't need one. But for today, that's the answer to protect our kids. As amongst other things, but that's one of them. And I love the fact, Don, that you brought up that a resource officer is not just an armed New York State security guard. He's much more than that. He's practically a teacher, a mentor.
Well, he's a counselor, he's an educator, and he's a law enforcement.
Yep. So. And the ones that I've met here in the store have great guys of great patience and definitely high caliber. I've met a few now since the subject comes up, and good guys. Guys that I would want to have near my children.
Well, my brother was a police officer, and he was very good at dealing with domestic violence situations. Of course, you live in a small town, and people get to know you, and you know, they'll listen to you. You can talk to them. And that's basically what we're dealing with here. A school resource officer who the kids get to know, get to trust, you know, and like you say, he's not there as an armed guard. We've got to get away from that mentality. These kids need help. They don't need someone standing over them with a gun. They need help at the earliest opportunity for intervention.
Right. A well-trained educator should be able to pick out a child that's being bullied or a child that has problems at home. There's signs that they can pick up, and then they can start to address the issue. And it seems like the popular thing is to say, it may be true, a lot of these shooters are actually kids that have been bullied. I don't know. I'd have to read more on that. But for sure, kids could treat other kids better. And in doing that, that kid doesn't have to grow up to be a killer. He could grow up to actually be productive if people pay attention to the problems and the helping of these kids.
Well, I mentioned to you that there has been an uptick in mass shootings, okay, in the last few years. One of the reasons could be, as you mentioned, bullying. There's a lot of social bullying that goes on out there. And the kids today are using social media to such an extent and taking pot shots at one another, I'm sure that that has to be a factor. Yeah, I wanted to mention something because I had received an email earlier this morning. I don't want to leave this fixed, Nix, unless people understand. Because this gentleman that came in from the Veterans Association, here's one example. What will this Fix Nix propose? You realize that it can affect and sweep away rights for a veteran who has been assigned a guardian or who has asked for a guardian to manage their financial affairs?
Right.
Yeah, that's a concern. A traffic ticket could be a gun ban, where an unpaid traffic ticket can lead to a fugitive from justice, Nick's denial. There is a category, fugitive from justice.
Oh, so if you haven't paid a ticket, or maybe you missed a
court appointment,
yeah. Then they could come by and snatch your guns.
Yeah. And the problem is, it's a state agency that's going to make the report to the FBI, and the FBI won't take you off that list unless the state agency tells them to. And the state agency is the one that I've mentioned before in Albany, run by the state police, and they're not taking anyone off for any reason.
Yeah.
No matter how the reason.
Even if they take you off, then they're culpable for if you do something wrong in the future. We took him off. Oh, but he did something wrong. So they can't ever really take you off. And if you can gather up little tiny things that aren't quite misdemeanors, maybe they're violations, and
that's right.
Bundle them up to be reported.
Into a felony case.
Yeah, make it a felony case out of it. Then you lose your. There's another way we'll lose more of our Second Amendment rights.
So, and there, by the way, there's no sanctions according to this bill proposed on the Attorney General or the FBI if they do not fix a problem immediately. Reminds me of the IRS and the FBI and the Department of Justice under our past president. No accountability. We have to worry about that in this country where our rights are so important. Okay, sir.
All right, well, that was Don Smith from SCOPE, Shooters Committee on Political Education, and we thank you again for being on our show. It's your show, but we thank you for being on it, and Mike Yarger, and when we come back, we will come back with Canandaigua 2020, all the news and all the information that we can gather that's going on in Canandaigua and Ontario County. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. There's some more information in case you need to use it for a show.
You've been listening to SCOPE, Shooters Committee on Political Education with Don and Bob. Keep your gun holstered and your rifle in the rack with the second half. And then on to Three Men and a Mic with Michael Yarger from Canandaigua 2020.
On the dock of the bay, watching the clouds roll away. Whoa, whoa.
Welcome to the Combat Radio Network. This is Three Men and a Microphone, recorded inside the Iron Mike Studio, located in the Military Exchange on Route 332 in Canandaigua. Three Men and a Microphone is an opinion show based on the ins and outs, the news, politics, and scuttlebutt about town and the city of Canandaigua. Beautiful, historical Canandaigua, New York, where the hops grow higher, the grapes grow sweeter, and the sun always shines. In conjunction with 1310 AM, Canandaigua. Three men and a microphone, all the way from Rochester to Geneva, New York. I am your host, Corporal Tim Thornton, and this is Three Men and a Microphone. And we'll be right back after these messages.
Another tactical to practical moment has been brought to you by Iron Mike's Military Exchange. Ammo cans. What an awesome box. It's all metal, seals watertight, and is nearly indestructible. It's so watertight, people bury them in the desert with water, so they will have water later. The USGI ammo can. That's the United States government issue ammo can. It's made in the United States to carry ammo, but it does so much more. It's a bear box used by the Boy Scouts of America. Geocaching, coins, cigars, toolbox, hazardous materials, CDs, and anything precious you want to keep safe. They even come in your choice of color, olive drab. This tactical to practical moment was brought to you by Iron Mike's Military Exchange, located in Canandaigua, New York.
Check them out online at ironmikes.co.
Welcome to Canandaigua 1310 WOKR. This is Three Men and a Microphone, and it's only down to two guys, just me and Mike Yarger from Canandaigua 2020 Facebook. And how are you today, sir?
Good. How are you?
I'm all worked up, but go ahead. Let's hear what you got today.
Okay. So I wanted to open the show with a little tribute here. We just had one of our state senators, our senators, Louise Slaughter, pass away. Now, a lot of people don't know that Louise's first name was actually Dorothy, and she was born in Lynch, Kentucky. She earned a master's degree in public health, and her minor was microbiology. She got these degrees from the University of Kentucky, and she first ran for Congress back in 1986. She won re-election multiple times. She served as the chairwoman of the House Rules Committee. And, I think she has done a lot for women's rights. So we want to remember her and, you know, appreciate all that she did to help our country. Moving on, we had somebody ask about trails in the area. They had a daughter who went to Grimes Glen over in Naples, and the daughter enjoyed that very much, and the mother's asking, are there any other trails or places to go hiking in the area? And actually, we have quite a few. Ontario Pathways has a bunch of trails that they run, and it actually runs right here from the city of Canandaigua out towards Phelps, Clifton Springs, that area. We have Corbett's Glen, which is up in Pittsford, a short drive away. Onanda Park has walking trails. Tinker Park over in Henrietta. Ganondagon on Broughton Hill and Victor has hiking trails. So a lot of places, you know, with this nicer weather coming, we hope, there's going to be a lot of places that you can go out and do a little hiking. Our birdcage is in the news again. This coming Monday, the Industrial Development Agency is going to be having a hearing to determine what, if any, tax breaks will be given to the birdcage. And right now, they're saying three tax breaks they're looking at. One would be a mortgage tax break, so that if they ever get financing for this, a mortgage, they won't have to pay the tax on the mortgage. On top of that, there's a sales and use tax break, which means if this hotel ever gets built, all the materials that are used to build this hotel, they won't have to pay sales tax on. But the more important one is the real estate tax. They're proposing that this property not have to pay any real property tax. And that's the real kicker here, because we don't know for how long they're proposing to do this. But that's where the cities, the towns, the schools, the libraries all count on getting revenue from the various properties. And, you know, this business and building ought to be paying their fair share. So if you have feelings about that, we'd encourage you to go to the meeting at 5 o'clock on Monday over at the Ontario County Office Building for the IDA meeting.
You know, Mike, I just don't understand why the purpose of bringing businesses into a community is for them to raise the revenue. So people shop there. Well, people shop there, then they pay sales tax.
Right.
That sales tax goes directly to the roads in front of that business and to that zip code. And they don't get shared with other people. There's a split of the percentage.
Right.
But that a bigger percentage, I believe, goes right to...
Well, it goes to the county. It goes to the city.
Right, goes to the city.
Right.
Right here where I am. My taxes really do fix this road right here from 332 to Emerson over to, you know, where the fire department is.
That's right. I mean, and it runs the street lights and, you know, it keeps your sewers operating.
But that's not even in a general way. It's actually, they'll call you up and they'll say, hey, where were you on this day paying your sales taxes? Because we need to give that money to that town for that area. So you keep giving the biggest of people the biggest of tax breaks, and you've generated nothing for our community except for a more profitable business for them. And, you know, and I'm against that. Honest to God, at this point, I think that the material on that building is already ruined. I don't believe that it's structurally sound. And it would seem to me that at the cost of whatever it takes, I would tear that thing down and sell that land off or give it back to the guy that you eminently domain stole it from. Do something else. But why reward the person who couldn't follow the rules to build the building? Why? And why deduct more money out of the rest of us because you're going to come to us and ask us for more? Is there a reason why Wayne County only has Wayne County has no sales tax on clothing, but Ontario County still holds 3.5%. And I know that this percentage goes in and out all the time, but you want that money from those of us that'll pay, but you're not affording that same obligation to those that refuse to pay.
If you're going to give tax breaks, why not give them to the widows and the orphans and the people who need the tax breaks instead of the millionaires in our community?
Well, or the small businesses, because they want to grow.
Right.
They can't become big businesses if you never help them out.
And speaking of going for tax money, they're also now going after the Airbnb properties. Now, folks use Airbnb to rent out their houses, mostly in the town, not as many in the city, but there are a few in the city that are doing this. And recently, the Inn on the Lake has announced that they're going to be closing up for over a year. So a lot of people are going to end up relying on these Airbnbs to find accommodations in the Canandaigua area. And the city is saying, well, we want to start collecting taxes from them. So they want to pass regulations on the Airbnb properties, and they're in the process of holding a public hearing so that they can get input from the B&B owners, from the Airbnb people who are renting their properties, and from the general public. So that's going to be at the next city council meeting. I believe it's April 5th. So if you rent your property on Airbnb, if you're a B&B owner, if you're a member of the community that's thinking about doing that, you might want to go to this meeting and give your input.
I think they should pay. You want to play the game of business, then you need to pay. You need to follow the same rules, you know, and that means health department and everything else. You want to play, to be a part of it, you want to make that money, then follow the same rules as the rest of us that have a business.
Yeah. Well, that's the way the B&B owners were saying. I mean, we had three B&B owners at the last city meeting where they brought up the initial discussions of this. And the B&B owners were saying, look, we're a business, and we have to meet certain regulations, health department and everything else, that these Airbnb places don't have to, and they're killing our business. So either you make them play the same game that we have to play, or we'll become Airbnb, and we'll close up our B&B and use a different business model and then not be paying taxes to the city like our competitors are doing.
So there you lose more revenue, and you subject more people to, I want to say health laws that may not apply. So in other words, I don't want to go to I don't want to really put this on anybody, but I don't want bed bugs in one place where the other one is protected by the health department or investigated by the health department so that they don't have bed bugs.
Right.
So it's not like, again, if you want to do it, then do it by the rules. You know, this goes...
Well, okay, people right now are doing it by the rules, but there are no rules at this point. So the city is drafting the rules.
They found a loophole, and they know that they're taking advantage of it.
Right.
You know, so I'm against it. I'm against a lot of things that where people don't pay their fair share.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Peacemaker Brewing. We've had them on this show before. You remember them?
Okay. Remember them. Excellent beer.
Yeah. So they did a concert last year in cooperation with Rio Tomatlan, which is a Mexican restaurant down on Bemis Street. And they want to do the same thing again this year. They've moved the hours so that the concert is going to be ending by 10:30. Last year it was 11 o'clock, and there were a few complaints from the neighbors that it went past 11 o'clock. So they've agreed to end it by 10:30 this year. But the concert's scheduled for July 28th. So if you're interested, put that date down on your calendar.
That's the only Mexican restaurant in that area, right?
To the best of my knowledge, yes.
Oh. I thought Rio Tomatlan was like an Italian place somewhere else.
Actually, there's an Italian place right across the street called Casa Italiana.
Right, but I know about them.
Okay.
I think I'm confusing it with somebody over in Victor on 96. Don't they have a similar name? But either way, I've never eaten at the Mexican restaurant, Rio Tomatlan, but I do know the owner. In fact, I know him well enough to say hi.
Oh, good.
And I like that guy.
Good.
I think he's very good at what he does, and I've always heard good things about that Mexican restaurant. I just never realized that I didn't capture the name.
Okay. So when you get an opportunity, you should go and eat there, because let me tell you, everybody I've talked to, their reviews say the food is fabulous.
Have you eaten there?
I have.
Have you tried
two separate occasions.
Have you tried the cheese?
The cheese.
I understand they're well known for their cheese. So you got to make a point of trying the cheese. I don't know if that's just cheese on the food, cheese in the dip, or if it's actually separate cheese. But I've heard that they're well known.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody's got a little thing. You know, like George's restaurant before he closed.
Right.
He was known for steak mushrooms. People didn't know that. I only should have produced that or, you know, told more people. And I don't think I like mushrooms at all.
Okay.
But I got to admit, a steak mushroom sounded interesting.
Okay. So moving on, we've got the dog park. And we actually have an event coming up for the dog park. They are going to be doing an art show. This is in cooperation the Candago Canine Campus is cooperating with Hope Art Studio, which is over on Mill Street in Canandaigua. It's a new art studio, and they're doing a Going to the Dogs art exhibit. This exhibit is to raise funds for the Canandaigua Canine Campus, and it takes place Saturday, March 31st from 11 to 4 in the afternoon. It actually runs for a month, and then they'll be auctioning off some of the artwork and having basket drawings and raffles and things of that nature.
So can I get my dog to be a part of this? Because my dog can write his name in the snow.
Really?
And that would be artwork, wouldn't it?
Now, what's the dog's name? If you tell me it's Nebuchadnezzar.
That I love dog artwork. I'm interested in seeing that.
Yeah. No, it should be a great exhibit, and I'm looking forward to going. Like I said, March 31st, Saturday, from 11 to 4 is when they're having the kickoff, but you'll be able to see that artwork during the entire month.
Wasn't there something in the – you might have already reported on this last week, but I saw on the news something about the town of Canandaigua getting involved with the dog park.
Right.
With the city.
Right. So here's the deal. The town, the city, set aside $60,000 to do the initial construction of the dog park. And this doesn't include landscaping and things like this, but does get them a driveway, gives them a water line back there, all the things that they will need for the future when the dog park's up and running. So city says, okay, we have $60,000 in a park fund, so it can only be used for these types of purposes. So we're going to use it to build this dog park. And the city had approached the town previously and said, you know what, we're planning on building this dog park. Would you like to be a part of it? And the town kept saying, no, why would we want to participate in a dog park? We have, our people have acres of land for their dogs to run around on. We don't need a stinking dog park. Well, guess what? People in the town started approaching the town and saying, you know what? We'd really like to be able to use that dog park that the city has. And the town's like, well, why would you want to do that? We have, and they said, no, we live in the hammocks, or we live in one of these new developments that are sprouting up right on the edge of the town and the city. And they're saying, we don't have acres of land for our dogs, so we want part of this dog park.
I think part of the dog park fun or the draw is that there's fence.
Yeah.
So you can let your dog loose.
Right.
And he can mingle with other dogs.
Right.
Right.
The little socializing among the dogs.
Right. So, you know, you have a park, but it doesn't have a closed-in fence. Really, all you're doing is walking your dog.
Right.
On a leash.
Right.
So the dog park, they got that one up on the thruway to the left by Henrietta-ish. I think it used to be a golf course. And I see a lot of people out there with their dogs.
Yeah.
So I can appreciate it.
Yeah. And a lot of people like to, like, let their dogs off leash. But you run a risk doing that because usually it's not allowed.
Well, you should.
Dog park allows it. So.
Right. And, of course, I just got to throw this in there. Dogs should have already gone to good canine training, had a certificate, and you should have to prove that their shots are up to date.
That's right. And all those will be requirements to participate in the dog park.
Yeah. So the town is going to get involved?
Yes, the town has decided they're going to donate $30,000, which is essentially half the funds that the city was going to invest in. And then some of the neighbors who had joined this area where the dog park is had been complaining about the screening going away because they've started to do some work in that area. And they're saying, well, my house is on, say, Perry Place, and I can now see the winery because you've taken trees down. So probably some of that $30,000 is going to go towards landscaping earlier so that those people's screening goes back in place and
so
they don't have to see the winery from their house.
I'm just curious. Are we at $90,000 towards the dog park?
No, it'll probably be $60,000 and then maybe another $5,000, $10,000 for landscaping.
So the city was going to do $60,000.
Right.
But now they got the town to pick up half the bill.
Correct.
Right. Okay.
So what they'll do is they'll keep some of those funds in their park account because they can't spend it on anything else. It has to be on the parks. And, you know, they'll put some of that $30,000 towards landscaping and phase two of the dog park.
Maybe they could pay a little more money to the dog warden. Why not?
Is the dog warden not adequately compensated?
Well, he might be, but why not give him a little bit of boost? Now he's got an entire park he's got to take care of, too.
Actually, it's not the dog warden who's going to be taking care of the park. It's going to be the folks from the DPW. And the folks from the DPW, apparently they decided not to add anybody else with the addition of this new park. So the guys who are handling the parks and recreation now are going to have an additional park that they'll have to work on. So maybe if you're going to give somebody a little boost, that may be where you want to give it.
Well, but if a dog gets loose, you're still going to call the dog warden.
Yep, you're going to be calling the dog warden. So, but they have apparently some kind of entry system where you have to use a key card to get the dog into the park and things like that. So hopefully it'll be very secure. Moving on to our next event, we've got Arts in Bloom exhibit and sale. That's occurring April 7th from 3 to 5 at the Ontario County Historical Society. And this is the first time that the Arts Council will be holding an event with the Ontario County Historical Museum, and they are sharing space right now. Then we already spoke about the Jamboree this Sunday at the American Legion. We want to give a shout-out, too, to a couple of businesses. Perry's Ice Cream is celebrating 100 years, and Matthew from Instacart got high praise for his delivery of groceries, helping out a young mother who had difficulty being able to go out on her own because she was sick. She's got kids, and Matthew came and not only delivered the groceries, but helped her put them away and things like that. So, you know, we give him a shout out.
All those words you wrote down on paper and you don't want to talk about any of them, or was that the end?
Well, I was just going through to see if I had other ones here to go through. Oh, I don't know if you heard, Amtrak has decided they're going to rename the train station after Louise Slaughter. And I'm not sure that Slaughter Train Station is the best name, but...
They had a strange ending. Louise Slaughter something transitional or transit.
Intermodal.
Inter what?
Intermodal.
Intermodal.
Right. Right. Louise always pushed for an intermodal rail station. Basically what that means is you can transfer from the train to the bus without having to go outside. So it's multiple forms of transportation in the same facility.
I've ridden the train from here to New York City tons of times. I mean that, too. I usually had to go to business in New York City. And I liked it. And I have no complaints about the train. I think it all went very well. Could the train go even faster, which is what Louise wanted? I would agree with that. It would be nice. And I know saying that probably brings up tons of arguments, you know, on what that means. But I got to say, locally, and I've said this before, why can't we get a railroad from Canandaigua to Rochester and Rochester back? And you see, when you come into town, you and I both live out of town, so when we come into town, you see all that traffic backed up, actually, at the thruway, because those people are all going to work to Rochester, more than likely. And then at night, they got to come back home. I'm telling you, a short train helping people get in and out of the city could be very valuable.
I 100% agree, and my route would take them right up to Eastview Mall. And then from Eastview Mall up to Marketplace Mall.
Well, that's what the bus does. See, and there's a reason why the bus doesn't work. So the bus goes from wherever you are in Rochester, you can take a bus from, say, the airport to the bus station. That's a buck and a half.
Right.
Then you go from the bus station to Eastview Mall.
Right.
That's a buck and a half.
Right.
Then, if you want to get downtown Canandaigua,
you take another bus.
No, you got to take the short bus, whatever that's called. And that's $5. So now you've negated. Well, before I say that price, so $5, $6, $7, $8, right? That's pretty much what you're going to spend on gas or a lot less. And it takes an hour and a half one way.
Right.
And you've got to get on and off three times just to get to Main Street in Canandaigua.
Right.
So the bus system for us out here does no good. And there's a nice little bus thing.
I wouldn't say no good. There are people who rely on the bus.
If you've got all day, hour and a half,
I agree
3 hours.
With you. The bus system could be run much better.
It's there for, well, I don't know about locally, but from Rochester to the mall or Canandaigua to the mall kind of sells you on what they're doing. They're getting you to the mall.
Right.
But they're not helping anybody that works for a living get back and forth. There needs to be a more direct route. That's why the train. You don't have to lay more track. It already goes to the Rochester station. And it could go pretty darn fast, probably 20 minutes, probably even faster than that. So it would get there, and you'd disembark and get, you know, probably take a bus to get to your job. But, you know, things could be worked out. I really think a lot of the areas around here could benefit from the tracks. Let's face it, the tracks are right behind us.
Right.
right? They're all over Canandaigua. You could get on several different places.
Right. I agree with you. I 100% agree. There used to be rail transportation from Rochester to Canandaigua. That's something that I think could be restored and could be profitable for a company.
Yep. And Greyhound doesn't go from Rochester to Canandaigua. It only goes from Canandaigua to Syracuse. So that there is that little bus thing to the right side of the throughway.
Right.
Where I believe Greyhound swoops in or RTS. Maybe RTS, but I don't think so. Not from what I checked a few years ago. It's probably not RTS, though, because I tried diligently to not drive all the way to Canandaigua twice a day. Because in that alone, just me driving is 35 to 40 minutes on a good day. So if I could just hop on one bus and read a book or do some paperwork or flip through my Facebook and get here, and then, oh, by the way, at 5 o'clock at night, better be at the bus stop because you get to go home. I have no problem with that.
Yeah.
And it would cost me a lot less.
Yeah.
But not the way they got it set up. It's not set up for success for Canandaigua. It's set up to draw people out of here to go to the mall.
Yeah.
And I got nothing against the mall.
Right. No, but a lot of people from our community work at the mall. So that's why they stop at the mall. They take shoppers there as well. But they're also taking workers there.
Well, that would be like a $5 thing.
Yeah.
That's not so bad for them.
Right.
But there's a lot of people that are in their cars headed towards Rochester.
So that covers our news for this week. Is there anything else you want to cover?
It's 25 minutes, Mike.
Okay.
That's it. You're supposed to do more than that.
I've been given a half hour. 25 minutes and 5 minutes of commercial.
Man. No, that's all we got for the news today. That's all the news, unless you got some good scoop or rumors going around. Anything on 2020?
Yeah.
Come on, don't make me pull up 2020. I know there's some stuff on there.
So we have some rumors going around, but it's not information I could share just yet. But
I'm sorry.
I have to bait you on this one because there's some big news that could be breaking, but we don't have the full story yet. So you'll have to hold out until we know all the facts.
All right, there you go, folks. There's your teaser. That's our show. Stay tuned for some more commercials, and maybe I can scoop up a guest. Okay, bye now.
Kim's Shaggy De Chic Pet Spa, a natural choice in pet grooming, located at 1010 South Clinton Avenue in Rochester. Shaggy De Chic Pet Spa is neatly nestled in the South Wedge Business District between the India House and Salvatore's Pizza. Kim's Shaggy De Chic Pet Spa, we are your premier full-service pet salon. Our courteous and professional staff has served pets in the Rochester area for the past 16 years. Come visit our salon and let us pamper your pet. Kim's Shaggy De Chic Pet Spa is a full-service grooming salon dedicated to quality grooming services in a low stress environment for your pet. We are using all natural products. Kim is very knowledgeable and provides a warm, friendly grooming environment. Kim Shaggy To Chic Pet Spa offers many grooming services such as full service bath, full service haircut pedicures, nail filing, facials, flea bath, toothbrushing, shed less packages, and specialty shampoos mini spa. Call for a free quote at 585-355-4761. Here are what some customers had to say. World's greatest groomer. Thanks for taking care of my baby. I tried another groomer and came back to Kim. Call to make an appointment, 585-355-4761. Visit our website and Facebook page at Kim Shaggy To Chic Pet Spa.
Welcome back to Civil War Radio, and this is Corporal Tim Thornton, and we have an interview today with Commander of the Sons of the American Legion, Gabe Cinquegrana. And he is going to talk to us about an event they have coming up and an old friend of everybody here in Canandaigua and ours too. Gabe, how are you, sir?
I'm great, thanks. I'd like to talk a little bit about an event we're having this coming Sunday, March 25th, at the American Legion on North Main in Canandaigua. It's going to be running from 2 to 6:30, and it's a old-fashioned, if you want to call it, country jamboree. We have three country bands that are going to be performing. We're going to have music, dancing, food, beverages, raffles, silent auctions, other surprises. Obviously, we'll have the bar open. But you can bring your kids if you want to bring kids. We're going to have all kinds of fun, all kinds of great music. But the real purpose, the real point of this is that we're raising funds for the Golden Age Games. And the Golden Age Games are an event that are run nationally by the Veterans Administration. The games are for veterans that are 55 years of age or older. They're meant to be a therapeutic program. The veterans that are involved in this nationally are receiving therapy. They weekly train. We have about 25 veterans at the Canandaigua VA that train weekly in different sorts of events. It's really an Olympics, but it's for 55 years of age or older veterans that are having some sort of disability or physical impact effect. The games include badminton, bowling, golf, archery, you know, things like that that don't require tons of physical activity but do require some finesse, which therefore requires the training.
Is there still target shooting?
Yes, there's target shooting, there's rifle shooting. As a matter of fact, we the Canandaigua VA had a individual at last year's Golden Age Games that won the national title for rifle shooting. So we've had a number of medal winners in the past. It requires an innate amount of money to make this happen. The event is actually held in Albuquerque, New Mexico. So there's some travel expenses that are involved, and unfortunately, because of funding issues, the VA does not provide enough funding for these individuals to go. So all year long, we're raising money, and this event is centered completely on that. We hope to have a couple of athletes that are going to be attending at the event. They'll talk a little bit about the Golden Age Games and their excitement about going. So we hope that anybody who has Sunday, March 25th available in the afternoon, please stop by. It's a mere $5 per person to attend, which is not a whole lot when you get three country bands and kinds of things.
Affordable it was. Well, you know,
we've done this a couple years in a row, and you know, we find that you know, if you charge too much, people aren't going to come.
True.
So we're hoping to work in volume here. And by the same token, if I could just plug another event, on Sunday, April 29th, at the Phelps American Legion, we're going to be sponsoring a fundraiser for Honor Flight of Rochester. Again, this is a Sunday, April 29th, 2 to 6:30. At the American Legion, which is on Route 96 in Phelps. This time we have two bands. One is the Coupe de Villes, who are a very popular recording artist group from Rochester. They've been around a very, very long time. Their drummer, who actually happens to be a cousin of mine, is a double Purple Heart winner. He was in Vietnam. Two of the other band members are also veterans. In addition to that, we're bringing on the Defenders. The Defenders are a group of musicians that are veterans at the Canandaigua VA.
That's the one Melissa's in.
Yeah, I think so. She's a tambourine girl, right?
Yep. Okay. Again, it's these individuals are receiving music therapy at the Canandaigua VA. Part of their therapy is they have a jam session every Monday. So we're bringing them on to open for the Coupe de Villes at this event for Honor Flight. Again, $5 a person, which is pretty darn cheap. And again, we're going to have food and refreshments and dancing and raffles and silent auction. A big thing that we found very popular is I'm a member of the Military Vehicle Preservation Association. So we're going to have actually a convoy of about 8 or 9 restored military vehicles, and they're going to come and have their vehicles on display. One of them has an amphibious vehicle, some trucks and cars and jeeps and all those kinds of things from way, way back. And these things are restored to the hilt. Great event. Sunday, April 29th for Honor Flight. And I can just add in closing that we were just informed that coincidentally, two of the members of our American Legion here in Canandaigua have been selected for Mission 58 for the Honor Flight trip, which is leaving April 14th and coming back on April 15th. So we're very excited. John McKelvey and John Hyde, again, both members of American Legion Post 256, will be going on that mission. So we're really, really excited about that.
That's very nice. Now, I asked you to bring some information on when I went up there Sunday for your all-you-can-eat breakfast, and it was great, by the way. Love the
great
food.
Great, thank you.
I saw a picture of Sergeant Major Fred Schutz. And I asked about it, and you said you'd come on and talk about how that involves you guys. And we all know Fred Schutz in a very positive, great way. I can't imagine there's not too many of us that couldn't toast a beer and talk about the accolades of Fred.
Sure. I honestly have to say that I never met Fred, but I've done some research on Fred, and he has a pretty impeccable background. He's in his name, the American Legion here in Canandaigua has a $1,000 scholarship every year called the Fred Schutz Scholarship. And it really is intended to memorialize the great things he did for veterans and for the American Legion here in Canandaigua, as you were kind of alluding to. The award was started in 2011. We've had great candidates every year. We expect to have a great candidate this year. He was the post commander here in Canandaigua from 62 to 63, county commander and from 68 to 69, district commander from 73 to 74. So he's certainly seen his action in the American Legion, and he was part of the post-rebuilding committee after the Legion here in Canandaigua burnt to the ground in 1960. So he was a generating member of that group to make the home that we have today a reality. He's received numerous awards. Very often, I understand, gave financial aid and room and board to veterans that were down on their luck. I wish that I had been able to meet him. So, as I said, we have a $1,000 a year scholarship in addition to 4 or 5 other scholarships that the American Legion in Canandaigua offers annually. So if anyone wants more information on those scholarships, wants more information on Fred, wants more information on anything here that I've talked about or anything else, the post website is www.ALNY256.com. That's American Legion New York.com. So you can go there anytime and you can get all that information.
Pretty good.
And I could share a little more information too about Fred.
Great.
I actually own a building on Phoenix Street, and Fred owned the Canandaigua Brew Company right across the street on Phoenix Street. Fred was constantly having veterans come in, and then he would run them to appointments and stuff like that if they didn't have their own transportation. He constantly fought to have the city rebuild Phoenix Street. He was very involved in the community and, worked very hard to make Canandaigua a really welcoming place for the veterans.
Yeah, I can just add to that that I understand that he was instrumental in developing the Commons Park in downtown Canandaigua.
That's true as well.
And even more so, made sure that there was an appropriate U.S. American flag flying over the park at all times and that it was appropriately illuminated. So, yeah, he's been a friend of veterans and friend of the Canandaigua community for many years. And again, as I can add, I certainly wish that I had known him.
Well, when I came to town to start my business, Fred was the only veteran that went to bat for me to be able to keep the name of my store in the city limits. And there was one other veteran on the committee, and I believe that, but Fred was obviously part of that. So he's a good guy. Really appreciate that he stuck up for me. He also did something else that I thought was nice. I strolled down there once to get a beer, and unbeknownst to me was this little neon scrolling device that would tell you, happy hour, 5 o'clock. But on it, without ever being asked, for military gear, shop at Iron Mike's, and I think it gave the address. I didn't ask him to do that. Didn't know he was doing it.
Nice.
And I didn't know that he was the guy that stuck up for me.
Mm.
Until I recognized him later in life. So he was that kind of guy that fought for veterans without the accolades. So
Very nice.
Thank you, Freddie Schutz. And I should say Sergeant Major Freddie Schutz. And thank you, Gabe Cinquagrana.
Perfect.
It was better the first time I said it. Commander of the Sons of the American Legion, and we hope you come back and the next time you have some more events to tell
Great.
Us.
Great. I'd love to come back anytime. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Okay.
Tactical to practical. Cold weather clothing and gear at the Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. Polypro cold weather masks, long underwear, gloves, boots, socks, caps, parkas, and field jackets on sale now at the Military Exchange in Canandaigua. The Military Talk Show, IronMikesMX.com. Call us at 394-2960.
Another tactical and practical moment has been brought to you by Iron Mike's Military Exchange. Camouflage netting was designed to cover up military buildings, tents, tanks, and artillery. Ah, but backstage side, at home, in your backyard, it's the perfect shade for the family patio or deck, or a dog kennel. It's a great blind for hunting duck and deer and to cover up that boat or tree stand. Perfect for a backstage drop for your next theatrical performance or airsoft and paintball scenario games. Iron Mike's camouflage netting comes with or without reinforced net backing. 100% waterproof, rot and mold resistant. Quiet and rustle free, textured for a more natural look. UV and non-toxic treated to prevent glare and shine. Reversible for different color options to best fit the environment. Pliable even in extreme temperatures. Comes in several sizes. 10x10, 10x20, 8x10, 8x20, and 4x10. And camouflage netting comes in many colors. Woodland, desert, dead duck, snow, and many more. This tactical to practical moment was brought to you by Iron Mike's Military Exchange, located in Canandaigua.
Check them out online at ironmikes.co.
Springtime weather forecast. Rainy, gray skies with a slight chill in the a.m. Tactical to practical. Military rain gear on sale now at the Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. Camouflage rubber rain pants, USGI issue, only $19.99.
Tune in every Saturday morning, 8 to 10 a.m., for three men and a microphone and a lady. Hear all about local news, politics, fishing report, and sports, as well as all the talk about town and the scuttlebutt in the city. To keep up on the show, stay connected and visit us on Facebook at Canandaigua 1310, Three Men and a Microphone. Presented each week, Saturday 8 to 10 a.m. and Sunday afternoons at 2 p.m. Sponsored by the Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. And to catch up on past episodes, go to IronMikesMX.com or WOKR 1310.
Roll call! I'm I'm Private Jones from Arkansas.
I'm Private Smith from Kansas.
I'm Private Ryan from Maine.
I'm Private Burke from Wisconsin.
I'm Private O'Brien from Texas.
I'm Private Muntz from Michigan.
I'm Private Schwartz from Rockaway. And I guess you heard reports that the Kaiser...